A few months ago, Pastor Pegg asked me to speak to a group of pastors who were coming together in our church for a day of training. She said, "Just a few minutes, Connie," and I agreed to do that. I really appreciated that we had a church filled with pastors that day. Many I knew, many I recognized their names. I must admit, I was a little intimidated, me giving a message to pastors, but I gave it my best shot, and it was fine. Some of what I'm going to talk about today was part of that message. When Peg and I talked and discussed the scripture, I told her my part of the scripture about splinters would be a little more personal than her message last Sunday. The scripture that Peg and I have both used is from Matthew 5:14-16. "Don't judge so that you won't be judged. You'll receive the same judgment you give. Whatever you deal out will be dealt out to you. Why do you see the splinter in your brother's or sister's eye, but don't notice the log in your own eye? How can you say to your brother or sister, 'Let me take the splinter out of your eye,' when there's a log in your eye? You deceive yourself. First take the log out of your eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the splinter out of your brother's or sister's eye." When you read this scripture or other scripture, do you think of yourself? I find that as I age, I do this more and more often. I read scripture and I put myself in that scripture. Seems like I am my own worst critic, but I also become a bit more critical of others and their choices. But when I think clearly, I really think about where I fall short. I tried to be very careful when I hear or see another doing something and I point my finger at that action, because I can usually see myself doing the same or worse. The log in my eye is larger than the splinter in the eye of another. As an example, in Sunday school one Sunday, John Grove was talking about one of their clients at Farm Credit Service. I'm using this, I hope it's okay, John. Seems like they had a gentleman coming in who was really helping himself to the free items. First, he picked up a handful of candy from the container on the counter. Now just not one or two pieces, but a handful. Stuck those in his pocket for later. Then he helped himself to several of the pens on the counter in the same way. Not just one pen or two pens to take home, but a handful of them. Stuck those down in his pocket. As he completed his transaction, he proceeded to their coffee machine, and he helped himself to about 8 of the K-Pods. John asked for suggestions on what they might do to eliminate this in the future. Well, knowing our Sunday school class, we had some really fun ideas, but they were just not what John was looking for. Seems like we all had suggestions of what to do about this man who felt entitled to those items just because they were out. But then I started to think about myself. Well, friends, when I would go into Bob Evans, I had a habit of grabbing a handful of their wrapped toothpicks. Oh, I love those, you know, they were sanitary. I could take them and put them in a little cubby in the console in the car. So I didn't take one or two, I took a handful. They were there, they were for me to take, right? Well, no, maybe it wasn't the same thing in value, but it was the same idea. I was taking something that was not mine to take. So I made a decision right then and there. I was not going to do that anymore. The following day, I went out to GFS and I purchased a box of wrapped toothpicks. There are so many toothpicks in that box that they will probably be part of my estate when I'm gone. and will need to be distributed. But if anybody wants any wrapped toothpicks, let me know. But I don't take them anymore at Bob Evans. Then I think of the day Joe and I were riding in the car in the downtown area. I saw a group of people getting their chairs out and getting ready to set up for a peaceful protest at Planned Parenthood on Park Avenue. I became critical immediately. It was a beautiful day. And I said it was a shame those people were going to waste their day sitting there with signs and attempting to get the attention of those passing by. Could they not find something better to do on that beautiful Saturday? Shortly after I made those comments, I began to think about those people. They really believed in something. You know, I didn't have to agree with them. I didn't even have to join them, but I had to have respect for their opinion and for their right to sit peacefully if that was what they wanted to do to spend their day on Saturday. Friends, they weren't doing any damage. They weren't hurting anyone. They were not requiring that the police would be there to protect them. Those people were people like me and like you. While I don't agree with the many political protests we seem to see, when people just seem to want to cause damage or harm others, this was not the same. I don't have to have the same belief as others, but I do need to respect their right to have that opinion, and I need to be respectful of them. What would happen if we all went about our business, if we felt that something was really worth our time, and we let others know what we believed? What if we did no damage? What if we didn't harm others, but we just felt the need to show and express our belief? Well, I know that I need to clean up my act, and I need to think before I speak against others, that I need to review my own activities before I criticize others. And you know what? God allows me to do just that. He sets the example. There are stories in the Bible that give me a reminder to really think about what I say and what I do. Yes, I don't always do the right thing, but at least I can think about it, and if I correct what I have done, I am going in the right direction. I am trying, and I will share some personal testimony to reflect my second scripture today, which is from Matthew 5. Also, you are the light of the world. A city on top of a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they set it on a lampstand, and it shines on all who are in the home. In the same way, let your light shine before people so they can see the good example, the things you do, and they praise your Father who is in heaven. Light penetrates darkness. If we know the truth that God is life and we fail to act as we know we should, we are as useless as a lamp that is hidden under a basket. We can't just live our faith inside our homes and our churches. We are to be in the world where there are those who do not know the loving God we experience daily. We need to be there where people are who can see what we are doing, what we are saying, and how we act. We are to set a good example. If we fail to be that example, we fail to be the light to lead others. I sometimes just want everything to go on as before. Don't create any waves. Don't do things that someone might notice, might hear, might read. But if I do nothing, what kind of an example would that be? A few months ago, I had a problem with a cartoon that was in the news journal. It was on the funny page, actually. I thought what's on the funny page needs to be light and just a little bit funny. I read this cartoon a couple of times, to be sure what I was reading, and then I thought of others who might see this cartoon, that someone might be influenced and think it was acceptable. But what could I do? Well, I wrote a note to the newspaper, and I sent it. I was really not sure whether anyone would even read it. I was not sure if they would pay any attention, but I was offended, and I believed it was morally wrong. Believe it or not, I got a response the next day from the editor telling me that he would review this, and he appreciated my comments. All right and good, right? Just a few days later, there was another cartoon under the same cartoon feature, and that was really not funny. I was angry that someone thought this could be funny, so I sent another email to the editor. I had his name and I had his email address. He had sent that to me. I felt like he had responded the first time, but that I was of little consequence and he only did it to get me off his back. However, he did respond again immediately, and he raised the issue with the group editor, who said he had a call from someone else who was also upset about that particular cartoon series. They had their 10 paper editors review that series, and their consensus was they aren't very funny. He again thanked me for my input and told me maybe I had started a revolution. Well, apparently I didn't start a revolution because that cartoon series is still in the paper, and it is still not very funny. I don't read it daily, but periodically I look at it just to see what it's saying, and it's not funny. It's not something that I think should be in the paper, at least not on the funny page. I expressed my opinion. It was not a big thing, but friends, we are called to be an example, to do what we need to do to make this world just a little bit better. Small, large, it doesn't matter. If you think something is not right, something that should be changed, it is up to you and up to me to speak out. Recently, I saw a TV advertisement that repeatedly used a word that I find being used in society today that is not appropriate. On TV, it was on there and it was encouraging people to use this particular company. I saw it several times and each time thought it should not be on TV using that word. I know I could have just muted the TV or turned to another channel, but I thought of others. And so I sent an email to the advertiser. I did receive a response, and they said the following. Thank you for taking the time to provide us with your feedback about our television advertising. Our intent was not to offend, but to try and highlight the often unenjoyable experience at a dealership and how our experience is actually different. We sincerely apologize if we missed the mark on that goal. We will pass along this feedback to our management and marketing teams. The ad's still on TV, and now I do turn it off. I did let them know that I thought it was not appropriate. I can't believe I'm the only one thinking that, but maybe some just turn it off. I find that harder and harder to do these days, and I'm not sure why. Maybe I'm watching too much TV, I don't know. But I find that I feel better if I express my opinion when something is not right. Does it make any difference? I don't know. But I think I will probably continue to do that. Friends, I'm not saying there is not freedom of speech, because there is. I'm not saying there is not freedom of press, because there is. But I think sometimes we fail to tell someone we are offended. We object to something, or something is just not right, and we need to be the light. Remember, we are the church, you and me, we are the church, and we have a responsibility to show others what church is, what we believe, and how we act and how we respond to let others know who we are and what we are about. When we do respond, when we let others know who we are also letting them know whose we are. We belong to God, and what we do and say reflects God. We are in the world. We're citizens of an earthly kingdom as well as a heavenly one. As citizens of this culture, of this earthly kingdom, we participate in the culture. Everything from what children are taught in school to what appears on TV screens, and yes, even what is in the funny paper. Christians have a responsibility to be proactive in society and address issues wherever possible. Friends, we live in today's culture, and our lives must support a Christian response to our culture. The old saying, "What would Jesus do?" should be a part of our everyday life, because if we don't do what Jesus would do, who will? I like the column in the News Journal on Saturday written by Norris Burks. He has served as a chaplain both in hospitals and in the military for many years. In a recent column, he wrote, "Alcoholics Anonymous call this kind of life keeping your side of the street clean." I like that. That means we can choose the way we live our lives. I want to let you all know that I'm not perfect. Did you hear that, Joe? He sometimes believes I am, and I thought I'd let him know I'm not. Of course, I tell him that all the time. I am not perfect, and I daily fall from what is right, but I am still growing, and I hope that each day allows me to grow a little closer to what God really wants from me. Thank you, and will you please join me in the closing hymn, number 367, "He Touched Me." Thank you.